Amen. That was a great song. Appreciate you guys being here tonight. Appreciate John and Lenita and Miss Susan. And as we dive into the Word tonight, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 14, and let's look at verse 24. And tonight we'll work our way through the rest of the chapter and go to verse 35. So Solomon is giving these comparison contrast proverbs to young Rehoboam to strengthen his son, to give him some great advice in the Lord through the Holy Spirit under the writing of the Word. And what some great advice that we have through the Word of God here tonight. He tells Rehoboam here in verse 24, "The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly." So let's break that down for a second. The crown of the wise is their riches. The Hebrew would be the crown of the wise is their wealth. Solomon knew a thing or two about wealth, did he not? And so he's telling young Rehoboam, make plans for the future. You in here, many of you have made plans for the future. You have investments that you have made. You have savings that you have saved. You have retirement that you have been blessed with. And I told my kids, have you ever heard about that saving for a rainy day? Talking to my eighth graders at Quitman, they said, no, what does that mean, Mr. Mice? And so in this society today that's very impulsive, that when they get their check, the first thing they do is blow their check. They don't know how to save. Many of you in here tonight, you know exactly how to save. And it has been great for you that many of you can fully retire. And you've been blessed by the Lord in this. And the crown of the wise is your wealth, your riches. The Lord's been good to you in that. And Solomon uses this contrast to the fool. He says, but the foolishness of fools is folly. So a fool, the first thing they're probably going to do with that paycheck is blow it, right? They don't ever set aside anything for savings. They don't ever think about retirement. They don't ever think about all the things that it may need to do to prepare themselves for the future. That's very wise. And as we get into the book of Proverbs, we're going to see the ant. And we're going to see some other animals later on in Proverbs that have been preparing themselves. And Solomon uses those creatures as analogies for you and I. So I would think about that. I have 8 years before retirement, and I've had people tell me, well, you should be a full-time pastor. You should just quit education and do this and do that. But I have to plan. And so in that plan, the Lord has put on my heart that, number one, I have 4 children that I need to take care of. And so in doing that, I want to plan to take care of my family because that's what I'm called to do by the Word of God. But also in the fact that rainy days do come. And when they come, are you going to be able to have something that you can have there to take care of yourself? Solomon says the crown of the wise is their riches. But he says the fool, they're the ones that live by folly. They don't save, they don't invest. Retirement, what's that? Verse 25. A lot of people have misquoted this verse. And so I don't want to offend anybody here tonight. But I want to preach the Word of God the way the words line up. So a lot of people have preached this, a true witness delivers souls. And they preach it from a standpoint that if you and I witness for Jesus Christ, we deliver souls from hell. Well, number one, we don't. God does. And so when we look at this verse here, we need to look at the Hebrew context. And the context would be talking about a court system, a judicial system. Somebody that is a faithful witness delivers the soul from death. Remember in Deuteronomy, you had to have witnesses to be able to say if somebody was doing the truth or doing something that was wrong or doing something right, you had to have witnesses. Solomon's talking not here about salvation. He's not talking about going out these doors and being a witness, even though we know that we're to do that for Christ. He's talking about a court case. And as he's talking about this court case, he's saying somebody that is a truthful witness could deliver a soul from judgment, could deliver a soul from the death penalty, could deliver a soul from being imprisoned wrongly. But then he talks about this with the court system. A deceitful witness speaks lies. They are somebody that when they are called to the stand, it doesn't matter if they swear upon the Bible. It does not matter if they hold up their right hand and swear to tell the truth and all the truth and nothing but the truth. They're going to lie right through their teeth. And as they do that, a deceitful witness will speak lies about somebody. As I was studying for this message and looking at this context, one of my favorite books, along with one of my favorite movies of all time, probably in my top five, is To Kill a Mockingbird. And I will never forget Mayella Yule on the witness stand accusing Tom Robinson of rape. And Atticus Finch, being the prosecuting or the defense attorney, Atticus Finch had proven everything that there is no way that Tom Robinson could have raped Mayella Yule. And Bob Yule, her daddy, just found it unfathomable that a woman, his daughter, would come on to an African-American man. And so they concocted this story through this book that all of you have probably read, this movie that you have seen, and she was a deceitful witness speaking lies. And what happened? Tom Robinson was found guilty. He tried to escape, was shot, and he was killed. I know that's fiction, but folks, it happens all the time. They had to postpone a very famous trial here in our county because of the young man that was shot and killed. The witnesses that they had at the crime scene that night were so deceitful that they could not trust them to get on the witness stand. And that's the truth. I know this because I was told this by people very close to this case. It happens all the time. Solomon is not talking about going out and witnessing to deliver souls. He's talking about you on the witness stand. If you're ever called to be a witness, I have been asked by people, will you come and be a character witness for me in this situation, in a custody hearing, whatever it may be? I said I'd be happy to. But when they ask me the truth, I'm going to tell them the truth. We are being called to tell the truth. But then there are people that go on those stands that lie right through their teeth. Okay? Verse 26. Solomon says, verse 26 and 27 is jointed here. It says, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence. When you and I have fear, we have respect. We have a fear of His wrath. We have fear of His judgment. There is strong confidence. That word there means security. It means protection. That we know that the Lord has us in the palm of His hand. And praise God that it's because of Him that we won't face wrath, because He sent His Son Jesus Christ for us tonight. Praise God for that. So when we look at this fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. We are safe. We are protected. We are held in His hand. But it says here in this contrast, His children will have a place of refuge. Praise God for that. Aren't you thankful tonight that He never leaves us or forsakes us? Aren't you thankful tonight that whatever you and I are going through tonight, that He's always there with us? Aren't you thankful tonight, Psalm 23? Aren't you thankful tonight that when we close our eyes the last time on this earth and take our last breath, that because, not because of who we are, but because of who our Savior is, we'll open them and we'll breathe in glory? Wow. Can you imagine that tonight, to just think about that? This is such a verse of encouragement. Solomon says in verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. It simply means this: when you fear the Lord, you are basically assuring yourself of not only a long life on earth, but you're assuring yourself, not because of who we are, but praise God, because of who He is, we are assuring ourselves victory in eternity. And so when this earth passes, aren't you thankful that this is not it? Aren't you thankful that glory awaits us? Aren't you thankful that our citizenship is in heaven? Aren't you thankful that you and I are going to bow before the Lord? We're going to worship before the Lord. But you know what's even better than that? That I'm going to know Thomas and Jackie Ricks. I'm going to know Terry and Susan Patton. We're going to know each other by name, and we're going to hug each other, and we're going to be there forever and ever. And some of you are saying, I don't know if I want to go right now. All right. But praise God, all those sinful things that we've had here on earth, they're going to be left behind. And all those things that who we are in our nature are going to be changed, because we're going to have a glorified body and we're going to have a new life. Man, I don't know about you, but I can't wait. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. See, when you live for the Lord, you stay away, Solomon is telling his son here, from the vices of life. When you fear the Lord, you're not going to be in extramarital affairs. When you fear the Lord, you're not going to be in the lust of alcohol, drugs, that scene that is out there, that underbelly that is out there that many people are drawn to. You who live for the Lord will not be drawn to that scene. Why? Because you have the fear of the Lord. And therefore, what does He give us? He gives us the fountain of life. And praise God, what Jesus says. He says He came to give us life, and He came to give it more abundantly. I'm thankful for that abundant life tonight, folks. Solomon really hits it home to Rehoboam. In verse 28, he talks about what it means to lead. And boy, this is good stuff here. And the multitude of people is a king's honor. Okay? The king needs people, because the people are the king's greatest resource. If only President Biden understood that tonight. It is not about him. It is not about his political party. It is about the people of the United States of America. And if our king, quote unquote, understood that and knew what his people's needs and desires, he ran on a platform saying, I am going to bring everybody together, and it is more divided than it has ever been. And when you look at this tonight and you think about this tonight, Solomon is making this application to Rehoboam, because one day that's going to happen. And we know this through the history of the Bible. In the multitude of people is a king's honor, but in the lack of people is the downfall of a prince. See, there was a succession, right? When Solomon went on and passed, there was going to be this succession of a kingship from the prince. So Solomon's telling him, people like Solomon. They love Solomon until what? He started having a lustful eye after all those foreign women. And all those foreign women he wanted for his wives and his prostitutes. And he wanted all these foreign women. And what did he do? He watered down everything that he stood for. And he was trying to tell Rehoboam, look, the people are your greatest resource. And I need to take care of the people, because one day I'm not going to be here and you're going to take in charge. And he says the lack of people is a downfall of a prince. The downfall of a prince. And so when we think about this tonight, we see, you know, if we want to make this application here in our own society, in our own government, in our own culture, oh, I wish our leaders today would get into the Word of God. Verse 29. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding. Wow. He who is slow to wrath, wrath in the Hebrew means rage or anger. He who is slow to wrath, he who is slow to rage, he who is slow to anger. You ever known those people that get mad over the drop of a dime? They get mad over the least little thing, and they can't let it go. I don't understand that. They just can't let it go, and that wrath builds and it builds and it builds, and they take it off on everybody around them. Everybody. And what they do is they alienate themselves where nobody wants to be around them, because they have a problem with anger. But Solomon says he who is slow to wrath has great understanding. That person that's calm, cool, collective. That person that don't get rattled. That person that don't get shaken up. That person that has great understanding, it means wisdom of handling problems. It says, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. He who is impulsive, that means that they react without thinking. They exalt, that word means that they lift up for show folly. You've probably seen people like this. I'll never forget a little dribblers game that we were involved in. My brother laughs about this all the time. When he was playing, this coach, and when I say that term, I use it very loosely. This coach was out there on the floor, and he was arguing with one of the referees. And this is a perfect example of somebody who is impulsive that exalts folly. He's cussing out the referee, and the referee tells him, "You better go to the bench, or I'm going to kick you out of here." He continues to cuss him, so the referee gives him a technical foul, rightfully deserved. Well, he continues to cuss him, and the referee tells him, "I'm giving you one more warning. You do it again, you're out of here." Well, the guy does like this. "Okay, okay." And he turns his back like he's going to go walk to the bench. And the referee is walking away, and this moron, this fool, comes up from behind the referee and shoves him right in the back. That's foolishness. That's somebody that is impulsive, and that is an exaltation of folly. Okay? We as Christians have not been called to be impulsive. We have not been called to be exalting foolishness. When people see us at the ball game, I reflect back. Oh, and I think how ignorant I was. I was in college. Mike Edson was coaching my brother in high school. And I would sit up in the stands. They were down by four to Pittsburgh, and they ran a 2-3 zone. It was a minute left, and I yelled from the stands, "You got to go man to man. You got to go." Here's this punk kid in college sitting in the stands yelling at the coach who doesn't have a degree, who doesn't have a clue. And I'm telling him, "You got to go man to man. You got to go man to man." The people sitting around me, "Listen to him. You got to go man to man." All these fans get impulsiveness led to folly. And now when I go to the ball games, I hardly ever say a word. Even if the coach is a moron, right? I just don't say a word because it's not going to do any good. But you and I, when we go out into the public, people ought to see that in us. They ought to see that we ought to be slow to wrath, because we have great understanding, and we ought to be a people that's not impulsive and not exalts this foolishness. Let's go to verse 30. This is a good one here. Verse 30 talks about our health. "A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones." Wow. A healthy emotional heart. I don't know who said this, but I wrote it in my notes. A healthy emotional heart affects your physical body. We're not talking about your physical heart tonight, because some of us have heart problems. I'll never forget having to go down here to the heart doctor and doing the stress test. Then he looks at me and says, "I don't want to ever see you again." Yes, sir. Right? Some of us in here have heart issues with our physical heart. But when we talk about our emotional heart, and you know what that emotional heart is, that your soul, that emotional part of you that gets worked up on things. Those that have a sound heart, that word's unique. It brings life to the body. That you are unwavering when people bring these problems to you and circumstances to you, that it doesn't bother you. Folks, the Lord's still sanctifying me on this, okay? Because I still have trouble with it. I want to try to be a people pleaser, and I want people to be like, I want them to like me. I want them to like others. And sometimes, you know what? That's just not going to happen. So there's some nights I go to bed and I toss and turn. Why ain't brother so-and-so happy? I toss and turn. Why is sister so-and-so so mad all the time? I toss and turn. I just wish brother so-and-so and brother so-and-so could get along. I toss and turn. I say, "Lord, why does this have to happen at New Hope Baptist Church?" A sound heart is life to the body. And people ask me all the time. Somebody asked me all the time. They asked me at the dinner table at school the other day. They said, "When did you start losing your hair?" I said, "When I got in the ministry." Right, Brother Thomas? When I got in the ministry. So this is what happens, guys. This sound heart brings life to the body. And some of you in here, things can happen and it don't bother you one bit because you are not an emotional wreckage, okay? But Solomon says the sound heart brings life to the body, but he said envy is rottenness to the bones. Wow. Envy. Let's think about that for just a second. It is, in the Hebrew, an agitating desire to have what someone else has. An agitating desire to have what someone else has. So when we look with our eyes, okay, the sin that we have in our eyes, and we look around and we see what others have, and it's this agitating desire to have those things, that is envy that rottens you to the bone. Because now you're what? You're keeping up with the Joneses. They build the 4-car garage, you got to build the 5. Somebody gets a new vehicle, you got to go get a new vehicle. Somebody gets a new outfit, you got to get a new outfit. There's just this constant keeping up because you have this agitating desire to keep up with everybody else around you. And that envy, it brings rottenness to the bones. Because what it does is it turns you into somebody that is so materialistic, wanting everything else that somebody else has, rather than just saying, Lord, remember what we talked about this morning? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you all the desires of your heart. When we're satisfied with the Lord, we don't need anything else. Envy is rottenness to the bones. Verse 31, he who oppresses the poor reproaches his Maker. This is somebody that takes advantage of the poor. They reproach the Maker. God makes all people. All people are in the image of God. So when I see these people that you're thinking, well, why are you giving them a food basket for Thanksgiving? Don't they need to go out there and work? Don't you see that old mom and daddy sitting on that front porch smoking those vapes? Don't they need to go out there and work? Why are we giving all this food to these kids? Well, let me tell you, number one, the kids can't help it. Okay? Number two, we who oppress the poor reproach the Maker. And the Maker of all of us in here is not your mom and daddy. The Maker of all of us in here is God the Father. And we have to realize that. So we have to look at them as in the image of God. So when we look at them as that, we see he who oppresses the poor reproaches his Maker. But listen to this. He who honors him has mercy on the needy. He who honors the Lord has mercy on the needy. I don't know about you tonight, but I would like to honor the Lord. And how do I know how I can honor the Lord? Well, He tells us very clearly. You ever wanted to know, remember what I talked about this morning? That revelational will of God, that revealed will of God that's in His Word? Well, here it is. You want to know how to honor the Lord? Then show mercy to the needy. Show mercy. It's spelled out for us, church. Instead of griping about the system of economics and the poor people in our community, one of the things that we could do to honor the Lord in our community is reach out to the poor. Thank you, Pruitts and others that give, that are making these food baskets for underprivileged youth. There are some people that are out there, and I'm going to be honest with you, I just don't know how they get by. And we need to be recognizing that. We're kind to the poor. Proverbs 19, we'll get to this later, but Solomon says, he who has pity on the poor, listen to this, lends to the Lord. And listen to this, the Lord will pay back what he has given. Isn't that awesome to think about tonight? So I would encourage all of you tonight to think about where is your heart when it comes to the poor. Verse 32, the wicked is banished in his wickedness. There is absolutely no hope in the Lord. I'm going to preach a revival at Corinth Baptist Church starting Sunday through Wednesday. And I told Brother Billy Smith we're going to preach Romans 1. We're going to start at verse 1. We're going to go all the way to verse 32. And when you look at all those things that the Lord gave the debased over to, their minds over to, when you look at these people right here, the wicked is banished in their wickedness. Their wickedness. They thrive in their wickedness. There is no hope in them. Why? Because they are headed on the highway to hell. On the highway to hell. But praise God tonight, the righteous has a refuge in his death. Has a refuge in his death. Our refuge in death is the Lord. My dad's grandmother, my great-grandmother, Opal Pomeroy, was such an influence on me. Right across the street over here at Miss Versy's, she's been here for a long, long time, would sit in that chair and pray for me. She would spoil me by getting off that bus and have a frozen mug in the freezer with Coca-Cola. She would fix goulash, a good old skillet of that good cornbread. She would fix a pound cake, a chocolate pie. She just made me like a king. But the most important thing Opal Pomeroy ever did for me was tell me about Jesus Christ. I hope you got those people in your life like that. And I was coaching at Mineola, Texas, 2004 or 5. I can't remember the exact year. And we were in the middle of a tournament in Emory, Texas. And got the call from my mom that Meemaw had went to be with the Lord. She was in the nursing home up here on Highway 80. I always loved going to see her because she said, when I get back to my house. She always had that hope. When I get back to my house, I'm going to cook you that chocolate pie. Well, Meemaw, we're going to get you back home, right? But she was just such an influence on me. And her daughter, Darlene, said that when she went from this earth into the presence of the Lord, she just lifted her hands. She just lifted her hand. I don't know what she saw. But when she took her last breath, she lifted her hands. And I believe with all my heart that as I preach from this pulpit tonight, that Opal Pomeroy is in the presence of God. Amen. There is refuge in our death. And that refuge that we have in our death is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 33. Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding. You who have understanding tonight, praise God for that. God has given you this gift of the rebirth. He has given you this gift of salvation. He has given you this gift to read His precious Word. He has given us this gift of understanding, of discernment, of being able to think. Not how we should think in the flesh, but praise God the way He thinks. And He gives us, in Romans chapter 8, it tells us that He gives us when we pray, we don't pray with words that come from us, but we pray under the utterings and groanings of the Holy Spirit. Woo! That's deep, guys. I'm thankful for the understanding the Lord has given me. It rests in my heart. But what is in the heart of fools is made known. Wow. What is in the heart of fools is made known. And what is in the heart of fools? It's folly. And what are you going to see? You're going to see people that are foolish. It is going to be exalted, is what He said earlier in this chapter. And He says that you're going to be able to physically see it because they are going to do foolish things. Oh man, do I see this all the time. Do you see it all the time, right? Of people that do very foolish things, act very immature, they bring all of this pompous attitude upon themselves and out in the world, and you can just see it. They want all the attention. They want all the garnishings. They want everything to be about them. And what is in the heart of a fool, trust me, it'll come out of their mouth. You'll see it. You'll see it. So ask yourself tonight, Lord, in every situation I come across, and boy, don't we come across them, give me the wisdom, not of my strength, but of Your strength. And when You give me that wisdom, Lord, and it rests in my heart, I'm not going to understand this problem like a man would in the flesh, but Lord, I'm going to understand this problem like we need Your Holy Spirit. And aren't you thankful that His Holy Spirit's the Paraclete, it's the Comforter? And He gives us that tonight. But what is in the heart of a fool, it'll sure come out of their mouth. It'll sure come out of their mouth. Verse 34. Man, oh man. I thought about saving this verse and just preaching one message on it. Because this verse right here needs to be preached in pulpits across America today. This verse right here is a verse that we need to hear loud and true. I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't care if you're a Republican. I don't care if you're independent. I don't care if you're apathetic. Okay? What I care about is this. The Word of God is preached, and righteousness exalts a nation. You know why we're looked at as a weak nation right now? Because we got weak leadership. And so when you see this righteousness that's not here in the leaders that we have, you see a nation that's not exalted, but you see a nation that's falling. And you may not like to hear that tonight, but it's the truth. I'm going to tell you something here. Righteousness exalts a nation. The Hebrew word means to lift up morally. Our righteousness in the United States of America will be lifted up morally because of what we was founded on. And I don't care who you are tonight, our foundation in the United States of America was on God and God alone. Amen. That hadn't changed. I don't care how many times they rewrite history or try to push any type of critical race theory or any type of revisionist history down our throats. You cannot take away the fact that America, praise God, was founded on His grace. Righteousness exalts a nation. But listen to this. Sin is a reproach to any people. And oh boy, do we have sin. We have sin. Man. My mom went with my brother and my uncle and aunt to the Massachusetts area. And they're on a little vacation up there having a great time. And they went to this Salem, Massachusetts, where the witch trials were and pictures of witches and all this. And Cody's texting me. He's like, "You're not going to believe this, but Cherie just is appalled that there's things like this going on in the world." And I was like, "Yeah. Guys, listen to me. You don't have to go to Boston, Massachusetts to see these things. You can drive right down the street and see these things. They're right here under our nose." And so, let me tell you about our country. Our country's falling fast. And I appreciate people like Anna and others that are involved in civil politics to try to vote the right people, to get the right people in office so that we can do the right thing for this country. But our country, I don't think you realize how fast our country's falling. I want to share this with you tonight. And if you get mad at me, just come see me after church, okay? Only in America, in this day and time, would you think that we have may well have entered the twilight zone. We have become a nation that has lost its collective mind. Let me give you some of the insanity tonight. In America, if a guy pretends to be a woman, you are required to pretend with them. Somehow, it's un-American for the census to count how many Americans are in America. Russians influencing the election is considered bad, but illegals voting in the election is considered good. People who have never owned slaves are now being told that we should pay slavery reparations to people who have never been slaves. Did y'all know that this is some agenda of a political party in our country? People who have never been to college should pay the debts of college students who took out huge loans for their degrees. Immigrants with tuberculosis and polio are welcome in America, but you had better be able to prove that your dog has the COVID-19 shot. Irish doctors and German engineers who want to immigrate to the U.S. must go through a rigorous vetting process, but any illiterate gang member or terrorist who jumps the southern border is found amnesty here. $5 million for border security is too expensive, but $1.5 trillion for free health care is not, quote unquote, free. Can I tell you something about Economics 101? I taught it for 2 years in public education. First thing they tell you in Economics 101, there is no such thing as a free lunch. I just taught my kids that this week, and they were like, "Michael, or Mr. Miles, I'm on free lunch." I'm like, somebody's paying for it. Somebody's always, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Don't ever get the government to buy into, and don't you ever think, well, the government's giving me a check. Oh, man. No, somebody else is paying for it. If you cheat to get into college in the United States of America, you go to prison, but if you cheat to get into the country, you go to college for free. If you cheat in an election, nothing happens to you, but if you point out the mathematical errors of that election, you are a conspiracy theorist, and therefore you're not allowed to post on YouTube. People who say that there is no such thing as gender are demanding a female president. We see all these other countries going socialist and collapsing, but it seems like a great plan for us. Some people are held responsible for things that happened before they were born, and other people are not held responsible for what they are doing right now. That's cancel culture. John Gruden, the coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, put out an email in 2010-2011 that made a quote-unquote racist remark about the Players Association president. And now in 2021, he's being blasted for it, and they're calling for him to resign as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. That is how ridiculous this has become, church. So we get to the next thing here. Criminals are caught and released to hurt more people, but stopping them is a bad thing because it's a violation of their rights. And pointing all this out, this hypocrisy in our country today, when you do this, somehow you are now labeled a racist. Spiraling out of control. Carl Zimmerman wrote a book in the 1950s. He said there's 12 things that will end your republic. Greece fell. Rome fell. America is the longest lasting republic that there is. We'll fall. All 12 of those things that he wrote about in the 1950s are happening right now in 2021. Every one of them. I love this country. But this country is falling. Because we don't have people that are righteous. We have people that legalize sin to get a vote rather than to stand up for what is right in God's Word. Think about this verse tonight. Pray for our country. Pray for the United States of America. Last but not least, verse 35. Solomon again says, "The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him who causes shame." Solomon is simply saying there, the king's grace is going to be upon you who are wise, you who are prudent, you who are good citizens, you who are good in the kingdom. Solomon treated those citizens fairly. But he says the wrath, his wrath, is against him who causes shame. Somebody that denounced the kingdom. Somebody that brought the kingdom shame. Somebody that was very selfish when it come to their own beliefs, that brought the nation of Israel shame and plunder. Solomon ended up being one of these very people. Church, listen to me. God bless the USA. But our citizenship is not here. Our citizenship is in heaven. I'm going to keep on being what God's called me to be. I urge you at New Hope Baptist Church, you keep being who God's called you to be. But I'm going to encourage you to know this. The United States of America is found nowhere in biblical prophecy. Amen. That means that we're nowhere to be found. And this country is going to fall. But you know what? It's okay. Because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ reigns supreme. And there's a day coming where He's going to sit on the throne in Zion, and He is going to be crowned the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And you and I will bow at his feet and proclaim his name. Praise God for his grace tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for King Solomon, that you imparted on him great wisdom. Lord, you imparted on him through the Holy Spirit the writings of these Proverbs. And Lord, these Proverbs have really touched our hearts. Lord, they've really encouraged us. They've really convicted us. And Lord, as we look at that verse 34 very carefully, Lord, we pray tonight that righteousness be restored to the leadership of this country. We know that it is righteousness that exalts a nation. And Lord, I just come to you tonight asking for forgiveness for not doing my part on what you've called me to do. I've stood beside in the shadows, and I've let all this liberal thinking and all these liberal agendas just be shoved down our throats instead of making a stand. Lord, embolden me to teach the truth in that classroom. Embolden me to tell the truth when it come up against people that try to disfame you and dishonor you. Lord, may you give us the spirit of courage so that we do not waver. Lord, tonight we see that sin is a reproach to any nation. And Lord, you know what's going on right here in the United States of America. Lord, you know what's going on everywhere. And sin is at an all-time high. And Lord, I'm no prophet, but I read your word and I just truly believe, Lord, that we're living in the days of Noah. But Lord, I'm thankful. I'm so thankful for the promise you give us that just like the days of Noah, the things that were going on, praise God, we know that your return is right around the corner. Lord, we at New Hope Baptist Church, we pray together collectively here tonight, Jesus, Lord, please come quickly. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for all the blessings you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, thank you for being here tonight. It's always an honor and privilege to teach and preach and share the Word of God. If there's any questions that you may have or disagreements or whatever, please let me know. And we'll definitely continue to study. I don't have all the answers at all, but I'm praise God, I preach from the book that does have all the answers. So pray for our country. Lift our country up in prayer. Tonight, we're glad that our missionary is back with us. Our missionary will be back in the foyer. There are brochures. There are other items that I want to encourage you to pick up. And if you did not have an opportunity to talk today, please go by and talk and visit. And then, like I said, on October 31st, we'll really have a good time together of fellowship. But please, please go see our missionary today before you leave. Been a good day, amen. Let's stand. Brother John, Miss Lanita, Miss Sue.